Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. Glad you guys came, and et cetera, and et cetera. And glad you guys hadn't run me off yet. It's kind of a neat feeling.
Still early, brother.
Hey! Groucho Marx. Groucho Marx. I've never been so insulted in all my life. It's early yet. I love it. But if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings, chapter 4, reading verse 18 through 23. "And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father, to the reapers. And he said unto his father, My head, my head. And he said unto a lad, Carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him unto his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, and shut the door upon him, and went out. And she called unto her husband, and said, Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men, and one of the asses, that I may run unto the man of God, and come again. And he said, Wherefore wilt thou go unto him today? It is neither new moon, nor Sabbath. And she said, It shall be well. But as God helps me, I want to preach on the subject that I may run to the man of God and come again. Heavenly Father, as you've helped so many to preach this chapter, this great chapter of deliverance and faith, please anoint me. Please help me. Please enable me, Lord, and I will give you the praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Keeping your finger there, if you turn to me to the book, or turn with me to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 5. I've often said that the book of 2 Kings, parts of it, reads like one of the Gospels. I read some of these passages, these chapters, and you'll find, for instance, in the one we're studying now, there are four different stories, four different events told about or recounted. And it seems like they don't go together. It seems like it's just one story and then something else happened, it's another story. But we believe, and it's certainly true, that the Bible was inspired and written by the Lord. It's the Word of God, not the Word of some man or some religious group or committee. It's the Word of God. God is in heaven. He sent His Word to us. To me, that's very important. And it should be to everyone listening. But we know most of the world doesn't care at all. They don't want anything from this book, except maybe half a verse here or something to mock it. But it's the Word of God. And I compared it a bit ago to the Gospels. To me, it reads like Mark. And I'd like to take a few minutes today to show you something in Mark. And again, Mark, it seems like Jesus is doing one thing, and then all of a sudden he's doing something else. And you'll take a chapter, and if you analyze the chapter, it seems like different stories. But if you put it together and think about it, think of the form, maybe God will give you understanding. And many of these chapters in Mark and perhaps some of the other Gospels, they seem like different stories, but really it's a continuous narrative. And I'm so grateful for the Lord for opening my eyes to the Word of God. But Mark chapter 5, where to start? I guess verse 22, and it's in the middle of the chapter. There were other things going on. And immediately, we jump from one to the other to the other. But it says in verse 22 here in Mark chapter 5, and this is a long passage, and I can't read it all. But it says, "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus," or Jairus by name. "And when he saw him, he fell at his feet," obviously the feet of Jesus Christ, "and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands upon her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." And that's great faith. "My daughter's dying. Come pray, Jesus. And I know that she shall live." And Jesus went with him in verse 24, "And much people followed him and thronged him." He couldn't walk, the Lord. There were so many people around him and following him and jostling him. I'm sure at times maybe the disciples had to steady him, unless he had fallen. They thronged him. Verse 25, as he's on his way to Jairus' house to heal the daughter, "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and you know what I'm talking about, the woman with the issue of blood, "and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind," the throng of people pressing about him, "came behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." In another telling of this, in one of the other Gospels, it says, "I want to touch the hem of his garment." Here it says, "I want to touch his clothes," but it's more specific in other tellings, other recountings, the hem of his garment. But she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." Jairus said, "If you touch, Lord, my daughter shall be healed." This woman with this issue of blood, I don't know if she had a sore that wouldn't heal for 12 years. I don't know what it was, but she had an issue of blood. Jairus said, "Jesus, come touch my daughter." But this woman said, "But if I can touch him, I shall be made whole." The hem of his garment. Very quickly, I want to turn to one more passage. And I don't want to take too long on this, but I'm here and then I want to go ahead and mention it. Here it is. In Malachi chapter 4, Let's start at the beginning of the chapter, but I'm going to look at verse 2. "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and yea, that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch." Again, the Lord is warning that there is a day coming that you don't want to be around for. It's the great tribulation. You need to be in the ark of safety. You need to be in Christ. You need to have your sins forgiven before this day come. The day of judgment will come. You need to be covered. But verse 2, which is why I turn to this book here. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Verse 1 talks about the great tribulation leading up to the great white throne, I suppose, the day of judgment. But it says in verse 2, but unto you that fear my name. Verse 1 talks about the wicked, the unrighteous, the sinner. Verse 2 talks about those that are looking for his appearing. I hope you're in verse 2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness, S-U-N, the great rising of the sun every morning that we see, that is a picture, a symbol of the Lord Jesus Christ, that one day he's coming. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork, it says. I believe David wrote that. Every morning we're reminded that we need to follow God. But it says, unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth, etc. Healing in his wings. I've heard it preached a couple of different ways. He says the sun, S-U-N, that rises. In this mountainous climate in the Middle East, not here obviously, the sun doesn't rise. Yes, it rises, but the effect isn't as we know it here in flat, floody New Orleans, I suppose. I love saying that. Where are you from? I'm from floody New Orleans. I love it. Gets them every time. But generally, if the sun is coming up on the other side of the mountain and that arid climate, it's dark. It's dark, it's dark, it's dark. Then you get a little bit ray of the sun to peep over, and then boom, it's daylight. It's morning. It's a different effect. The temple, for instance, the one that Solomon, David and Solomon built, they had it facing toward the east. They had the two pillars, Jachin and Boaz, I believe the names, made of brass, copper or whatever, that they shined every morning. The sun would come up. And again, it was an explosion of light all of a sudden, but it would hit those two extremely polished pillars, and it was a dazzle of light, an explosion of light. Again, showing the glory of God. But the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. Christ the Son, verse 1 says that the day of judgment and tribulation is coming. When Jesus finally appears on this earth, he's going to touch down the Mount of Olives. I understand that. But it says when he comes, every eye will see him. We're in relative darkness now. The Word of God isn't preached. His kingdom is not here on earth physically. But one day when he comes, boom, he's going to come. And he'll rule the nations with a rod of iron, etc. But his glorious appearing, that's what this verse 2 talks about. Unto you that fear my name. If you fear his name, if you follow the Lord, if you like this woman with the issue of blood, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. If you read, for instance, in Isaiah, it says that the lion will lay down with the kid, etc. Normally it's misquoted, lion lay down with the lamb, etc. The child will play in the hole of the asp, the snake. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, a great day. Healing will be available to any and everyone when Jesus Christ comes back to this earth. I've heard it preached that way, but in digging, and I believe that, trust me, I believe that. The theology here, the end times, the eschatology is correct. But this word, Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. The word in Hebrew, wings, can also be translated fringes. The prayer shawl that obviously every one of us have seen, maybe didn't recognize, but if you've seen pictures of people in perhaps at the Wailing Wall in Israel, they wear these prayer shawls. They call them tallit or something like this. And if you study the tallit, there's a lot of symbolism there. There's 66 knots, for instance, on the end of it, on the fringes. Remember, It says, and I'm giving it away, but the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his fringes. You can read in perhaps Leviticus or something, it talks about the different knots, the ribbon of blue, etc. The little ribbon of blue, speaking of heaven. White is the righteousness of God, etc. There's a lot of symbolism there. But this woman, again it's the same word, fringes. She said, if I can just touch the fringes of his garment, the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. So, jumping back to chapter 5 of Mark, she does that. She reaches out, and in verse 30, Jesus, immediately knowing himself in himself that virtue had gone out of him, the power of God had left him, turned about in the press, Christ did, and said, who touched my clothes? I believe that virtue did go out of him, but I believe that she touched him physically, yes, but she touched him before she even got there with faith in her heart. We know the story, she was afraid, and etc., and confessed, and daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole, go in peace, and be whole of thy plague, etc. Now they were on the way to Jairus' house, and this interruption happened. It wasn't an interruption, trust me. Yes, he stopped and he had to say, well, who touched me, and etc. But in the reading of this chapter in Mark, it's continuous. It's one long story. And the theme remains the same. But again, they're on the way to Jairus' daughter. But in verse 35, and apparently he took a bit long or something, while they yet spake, there came one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? Well, we prayed and you came and that's fine, but she's dead. I don't know what to do now. I know you were going somewhere else. You were doing something else. Jesus, just, go back and do it because she's dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said under the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe.
Thank you. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.